Chris Gibson, I got a number of questions, so don't filibuster. I have a number of questions I want to ask real fast. Number one, if Donald Trump calls you up and asks you to be a federal official, cabinet, sub-cabinet, would you say no?
I can't. Right now, I'm legally, I've made a commitment to Williams College. I'm teaching courses there. And
you're teaching two courses. They are?
Yeah, I'm teaching a course on leadership and political change
right.
and the politics of American national security.
Right.
Look, you know, as I've explained to some of my friends, you know, I'm a long-suffering Jets fan, and how brokenhearted I was when Bill Parcells broke his contract with us and didn't, you know, he left us. And then Bill Belichick left 24 hours later. You know, that's really left a sour taste in my mouth. And so when I made my commitment to Williams College, I'm going to fulfill it.
Yeah, you're still married.
You've been absolutely
married a long time.
Over 20 years. Thank you very much, yeah. Mary Jo.
Yeah. So that answers the first question. The second question is, what do you think you've accomplished while you've been here?
Well, and any number of things. Let me say this: I hopefully the most important thing is to help restore faith in our ability to be self-governing. That we'd have representatives who would go to Washington, follow through on what they said they were going to do, and what they were sent to do, and that they never changed based on the temptations, the money, everything else, whatever it may be down in Washington. And I'm coming home the same person who grew up in a working class family, first one to go to college, served in the Army, you know, started as a private E1, rose to the rank of colonel, you know, and then had the privilege of serving. So I had hoped that that would be the number one thing. But let me say that with regard to legislation, you know, we said from the very beginning, we're going to give a voice to our people and we're going to make this constituent driven. And the president just signed into law this past week, the 21st Century Cures, very important bill. It's going to bring $5 billion in new investments to the NIH to help us bring forward cures and solutions for our pernicious diseases. It also helps share information better so that we get to cures faster and bring, you know, cures and devices to market sooner. So, you know, I'm part author of this bill. The chronic Lyme situation that we've been dealing with, I authored that portion. But really, even though my name's on it, it's really the people in the district. They're the ones that helped me understand the issue and actually write and craft the legislation. It became law. The President of the United States signed it. You know, the same goes for a whole bunch of issues. The farm bill that we did was constituent-driven. The Beginning Farmer and Rancher Opportunity Act, that was actually written, drafted by a farmer. You know, in this day and age when everybody says, well, you know, lobbyists write all the bills and everything like this, Lindsay Shute is and her husband, Ben, they're farmers. They grew up in the Hudson Valley. Lindsay happens to be the a leader in the Young Farmers Coalition, and she drafted, you know, we did some tweaks to it and everything else. But, you know, Tim Walz, who's the highest ranking enlisted man to ever serve in the United States House, he was a retired sergeant major, is a Democrat from Minnesota. We co-authored the Beginning Farmer and Rancher Opportunity Act. About 65 to 70% of it became law. And in doing so, we not only brought a voice from the Hudson Valley that became law that helps our beginning farmers literally and figuratively get their roots in the ground in that first decade. So, you know, there's access to training, there's access to grants, there's access to discounts on insurance, there's a microloan that Lindsay helped draft. All of these provisions help our beginning farmers get going and to really survive some of those early challenges that come and visit beginning farmers. So it was very important substantively. It was also important politically. Because you don't have to be a lobbyist to make a big influence like this. You can just be a farmer, a very important person, a farmer, and make a difference. So I would say the Lyme bill, the farm bill. I was very involved in helping veterans and, you know, helped write the VA reform bill, was involved in the Clay Hunt suicide awareness and prevention bill. This is a passionate issue for our family. You know, Mary Jo is a licensed clinical social worker who works with veterans. And, you know, these provisions, I think, ultimately are going to be very important to our veterans. And really, that was constituent driven as well. So any number of things, we helped with the infrastructure bill that helps with our roads and bridges. We were involved in helping save Medicare, a very important bill that at the same time strengthened Medicare, actually reauthorized our community, rural community health centers and the federal children's health care plan. We reauthorized that in this Medicare strengthening bill. You know, we were involved in the opiates epidemic and, you know, you've got the Comprehensive Addictions and Recovery Act. We were involved in that space, too, and brought the money with it. the bottom line is this, is in that, and also let me say it was involved, obviously, in national security, peace through strength, trying to change the direction for our country. Not all war all the time, but not weakness either. This is a this is an approach that is very much informed by a close read of history. You know, I would say that those legislative items, I think, were key pieces of what inspired me to run, what people asked me to focus on, and what we delivered. And when you look at Y variables, because a lot of that is X variables, look at Y variables. So when you look at the economy, the day I was elected in November of 2010, the unemployment rate at that time was about 10%. The unemployment rate now is about 4.6%. Certainly, I didn't do this by myself. I would never claim that.
But you give credit to Obama for that?
I give credit to everybody, including President Obama, because this is the way our system is meant to work. That in an era of divided government, if you believe the status quo is unacceptable, then you have to find a way to work together. And we did that.
Chris Gibson, we're running out of time, yeah. So I have to ask you a key question, which has been bothering me lately. There was a time, there was no secret about it, that you were looking to run for governor of New York. And you went around and you visited the county chairs and you did everything you had to do. And then you gave a press conference and said you were going to go to Williams and you were going to teach there. Personally, I would have rather seen you as governor. And you made it clear that you were out of politics. How come?
Well, look, I mean, of all the responsibilities I've had in my life, combat commander, West Point professor, congressman, the most important, husband and father. And, you know, Mary Jo and I have three children. Our girls are 19 and 17. They're doing exceptionally well. Our son, 15, needs his dad right now. And that's going to be a priority. So among all the things I'm going to do, yes, I'm looking forward to teaching at Williams College. I'm so excited about that.
And you're writing a book. And
what, yeah, what's the be book, out this year.
What's the book on again?
It's a commentary on what's going on in the country and how to fix it. So look for this. It's going to be exciting.
Some of the things we've heard, right?
That's, well, right here. I think so. And then finally, let me say this. I'm going to be the assistant JV baseball coach at Ichabod Crane, and that's to help me spend more time with Connor. And, you know, look,
I got that wrong. I thought you were going to be the assistant JV coach at Williams.
No, Ichabod Crane.
Well, Williams is stupid not to have you.
Well, I'm excited to be joining their faculty for sure. And, you know, great crew up there. Dr. McAllister, Dr. Crow, who head the political science and leadership sections, respectively. And, you know, I'm deeply grateful that they reached out. And I'm very, I have known about their work, their scholarship for some time. McAllister has written on Vietnam and a number of other things. And, you know, Crow's a great news story, too. I got to tell you, he came from Long Island. No one in his family had ever gone to college. His dad went back and got his GED later on. But, you know, Crow graduated from Williams College and went on to get a PhD. So, and now he's back on the faculty. So, you know, you talk about in this day and age, is it really true, the American dream? Well, you look at Justin Crow, and you can see that it is very much.
Could you have beaten Andrew Cuomo if you had run for governor?
Yes.
I love talking to Chris Gibson. He's a guy who gives you a straight answer. Chris Gibson from our 19th district, he's retiring. He will be replaced, so to speak, by John Faso, but I don't think anybody can really replace Chris Gibson.
He's going to do well, Alan. I think he's going to do well.
He's the best of the best. And Chris, thanks so much, and we'll be seeing you here at WMC from time to time.
Thanks, Doc.